In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is written, my house is a house of prayer. The temple is the house of God, where he dwells. The temple is a figure of the soul, where God dwells par excellence. And St. Paul says, do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? So one of the moral senses of today's passage in the Gospel is that our Lord wants our souls to be houses of prayer. And this is what he had said to his disciples just a little while before, which we read in Luke chapter 18, when he told them that they must always pray. And St. Paul says again to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So today, let us briefly review what prayer is, why it is absolutely necessary for our salvation, and some of the many benefits of prayer, and lastly, how we can pray well. Saint Teresa of Avila, the doctor of prayer, says quite simply that praying is talking to God. And Saint John Damascene says, prayer is lifting of the mind to God. And another saint says, prayer is the conversation and union of man with God. Now, God is pure spirit. So in order to talk to God, we must use our spirit, that is, our spiritual faculties, which are the intellect and the will. To have a conversation with God, we must think of him and express something to him, some desire or affection of the will. And this is putting into practice the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So whenever we pray, we exercise in some way these three virtues. And this is the only way to be united to God. It is clear then why prayer is absolutely necessary. The Catechism of the Council of Trent teaches that when our Lord told his disciples that they must pray always, it was not a recommendation or a counsel, but a command. And Saint Alfonso Liguori says simply, if you do not pray, you will be damned. And if we reflect on this, we can see that this is obvious. We know that the whole law is summed up in this one sentence. Love God above all things, and love your neighbor for the love of God. Our whole judgment at the end of our life will depend on how much we loved God and our neighbor, and whether we performed the acts of charity which God demanded of us. But if we do not think about God, how can we love him? If I never communicate with someone, then I could never call him my friend. But charity is friendship with God. If I never talk to him, then I could never really know him nor care about him. Our souls are made for God. God created us for himself. Our intellect can only be perfected by knowing God. Our will can only be truly satisfied by loving God. And in prayer, our intellects are illuminated, and our wills are inflamed with love of God. God made these faculties in us so that we could be united to him by the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And it is especially during prayer that we exercise these virtues. Prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. If we stop breathing, we will shortly die. If we stop praying, we will quickly fall into mortal sin, the spiritual death of the soul. We will quickly forget that God is the one and only true end of our whole life, that we must love him above all things with our whole being. Our Lord told us, where your heart is, there is your treasure. If we stop thinking about God and stop speaking to Him every day, then we will quickly turn away from Him and put some creature in His place. And this is what mortal sin is, turning away from God and preferring some created thing over Him. But if we pray, if we obey the commandment of our Lord and correspond with His grace, then we are assured of true peace of soul in this life and eternal bliss in the next. Prayer is already a foretaste of everlasting life, which we shall receive if we persevere. The acts of faith, hope, and charity that we make in prayer directly prepare our souls for enjoying the divine life of knowing and loving the Blessed Trinity as He knows and loves Himself. Moreover, our Lord has assured us multiple times that we will receive what we ask for. Whatever you ask for in prayer, He says, believe that you will receive it and it will be given to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. All whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you. God could have given us all good things without us asking, but instead He desires that we cooperate with Him, that we share in being the cause of our salvation. So we must desire this ourselves, and prayer is expressing this desire to God. So God has decreed that we receive the good that He wants to give us by asking for it. This honors God and makes us realize that we are subject to Him and completely dependent on Him for all good things. This puts us in a relation of truth with God, the reality of the situation. This is humility. If we do not receive what we ask for, it is because we pray poorly, either by asking for things which are not good for us, and God in His mercy does not grant us these things, or we do not persevere in praying, we do not persevere in desiring the good that we should have, or we pray without really desiring what we say, without paying attention to the words that we say. But if we pray well, we will most certainly receive what we desire. Whatever we can lawfully desire, this we can lawfully pray for. This is what our Lord said when He said, "You shall ask whatever you want, and it shall be done for you." So we must ask for what is right and orderly. So we must order our desires. Now, first and foremost, of course, we must desire God, the supreme and adorable goodness itself. And after God, we must desire and ask for those things which most unite us to Him. And we must avoid desiring everything which separates us from God. Next, we can ask for bodily goods and for external goods, which are necessary to living well, but we ask for them only in as much as they contribute to the glory of God and to the salvation of souls, to increasing our knowledge and love of God, this knowledge and love in ourselves and in our neighbor. But how can we pray well? In order to pray well, we must prepare ourselves. Holy Scripture says explicitly, "He who goes to pray, let him prepare his soul." We prepare our soul first and foremost by putting ourselves in the presence of God. If we neglect to do this, then our whole prayer is ruined. If we are not aware that we are talking to God, then our words are obviously empty. And this is not praying. This is not talking to God. But if we are faithful in putting ourselves in the presence of God by making the act of faith, then our whole prayer will be fruitful, even if we get distracted during prayer. And this is inevitable. As long as we are here below, distractions during prayer must come. But as long as we do not consent to these distractions, we pray well. Before we start, we just make an act of the will to reject all the vain and harmful thoughts which will come during prayer. And as soon as we are aware that we are distracted, we simply turn our attention back to God, or back to the object of our prayer. And this we do by an act of the will, a deliberate act of the will. And even if our prayers are full of distractions, they are still pleasing to God as long as we do not consent to these distractions. But if we do consent, then this is a sin. After we have put ourselves in the presence of God, we must humble ourselves before His Majesty, confessing that we are entirely dependent on God for all good things, and that of ourselves we are poor, miserable sinners. And we must ask God for assistance to pray. Without grace, we cannot pray. We cannot lift our minds to God. But He knows how hard it is to pray, and He wants to assist us, but He wants us to be humble. Next, and even more importantly, we must have absolute confidence in God, that He will grant to us whatever good we ask from Him. He is truly our Father, who loves us more than we love ourselves, and who ardently desires our eternal salvation. Holy Scripture tells us, the Father knows what we need before we ask Him, and the Holy Spirit Himself prays in us with unspeakable yearning. Also, we must be free from any hatred or grudge against our neighbor. It is impossible that we could love God if we hate our neighbor, and it is hypocritical to ask some good from God while we desire some evil on our neighbor. But most of all, we must desire to do what is pleasing to God. All the saints are unanimous in teaching that our sanctity consists in conforming our will to the will of God. And our Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then all whatever you desire, it shall be done to you. And this is how we pray always. We don't have to always be on our knees, but we just have to do everything we do for love of God. It suffices to make the general offering in the morning and throughout the day to renew this offering, because quickly our intentions become corrupted. But if we make this act of the will to give everything to God for His glory and for love of Him, and for the salvation of souls, and everything we do is a prayer, in a certain sense. And if we always desire to do the will of God, then we can always ask for whatever we want, whatever we have need of, and God will give it to us. All of these points are perfectly resumed in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. This is the most perfect prayer that we can pray. This is the prayer our Lord Himself taught to us, who alone is the true teacher of how to pray. St. Teresa of Avila could spend hours in perfect prayer with just one Our Father. It is better to pray briefly, but with attention, than to pray a multitude of prayers hastily and without paying attention. The second most perfect prayer is the Hail Mary. We render perfect honor and glory to God by recalling His gift to Mary. So after the Mass, the best prayer that we can do is the Holy Rosary. And although prayer consists primarily in the ardent desire of the soul These vocal prayers help to excite us to this fervor, and they also keep our minds fixed on God. Our Lord and Our Lady are perfect models of how to pray, and if we are faithful in asking them to teach us to pray, if we persevere in rejecting all other thoughts when we put ourselves to pray, then we can be assured that we will reach that height of perfect charity to which God is calling us. To Him be all honor and glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.